Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable, too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
The following is a presentation of the Four Center podcast feed.
From the center of the galaxy, this is the Four Center podcast feed. I'm Joseph Scrimshaw.
I'm Ken Napsok.
And this is the Clone Wars Report. The news reported by the Muppets. Yes. I think that would be appropriate. I'd be happy to do an episode where Statler and Waldorf discuss the Clone Wars.
Yeah, I think sometimes we feel like them, a positively negative version of them. But
we're like positive Statler and Waldorf sitting in the balcony going, "That was good. I enjoyed the thing."
There we go. That's a t-shirt I want now.
Yeah, positive Statler and Waldorf. Well, this is an exciting episode of Clone Wars Report. It's our fifth episode of doing Clone Wars Report, but this is the first one where we get to dive into a new, asterisk on new episode of the Clone Wars, the first episode of Season 7, The Bad Batch. First, we're going to look at some big picture ideas, and then we're going to take our little break, and then we will dig into some of the more, the details, the fine points of The Bad Batch. So I just want to start by thinking about the physical and emotional process we go through.
Yeah.
So what was your process for watching? Did you do the Disney Plus dance? Did you stay up after midnight and wait to see when it randomly appeared?
Yeah, and I lost that bet. I had to go to bed about 1 a.m.
Oh, and it just didn't show up.
Didn't show up for me. And I have the phone on the phone. I have the PS4, and I have the Roku options set up. I have an Apple TV option. I should have set that up or desktop. And I want to watch it on my TV, not on my phone.
Yeah.
I didn't see, I think I saw one person, might have been Phil Sostak, saying that he got it.
Okay.
And I was like 12:10. I was like, oh, it's on the Roku. Great. Never showed up for me.
So never.
Get up early in the morning and watch it, which is fine.
Yeah.
Bigger problems in the world.
Yeah, Friday morning cartoon, that's
but
fun.
I went to bed a little like, 1 a.m. You can't pop up.
Yeah. I had a super long day on Thursday, but I was determined because I really like that waiting up. So I got my Obi-Wan Kenobi Black Series action figure, and a good Clone Wars action figure. I wanted a friend to watch it with because my wasn't sure if my wife was going to stay up with me. Yeah. And then it continues to be just such a weird dance of like, well, it's midnight. And I did my little trick of playing the final episode of season 6 of the Clone Wars and see if it would just roll into it, and it didn't. And just like, just kept refreshing until suddenly, magically, it was there. A little bit of Disney magic. It's a very weird thing of like, it'll be available on Friday, but it almost feels like Disney Plus wants you to go like, well, look, you know, we got some stuff. You're gonna come here? Maybe we'll hold out. Maybe we'll give it to you right away.
Well, at this time, and God bless it, not a problem with anybody, but I saw by about 12:15, I saw people tweeting about some stuff, like 5 minutes into the episode, they're tweeting stuff out.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I gotta try to make this work. Or, you know, put down the phone. That's a big option. But, you know, not throwing shade at anyone who did that. The excitement was real for the show, but you want to get it done watch it before anyone else could ruin it for you.
Yeah, I understand that. I'll give a shout out for You Can Express Excitement Without Spoilers.
This is true.
Yeah. Anyway, let's get into then the show itself. Mm-hmm. What was your overall big picture reaction to the general return of Clone Wars in this episode specifically?
It is awesome that it's here, but it struck me actually second time watching it. This is the first time since the re-explosion of Star Wars that we're watching Clone Wars. So I felt I didn't watch the first 6 seasons as a group.
Yeah.
Maybe a friend or two were like, yeah, we like Clone Wars, but that wasn't a shared experience. This is a shared experience. And so the excitement was real for it. Yeah. Not that I've never been excited for episodes before, but, you know, it was like, the new episode's on my DVR. I'll watch it tomorrow at lunch.
Yeah.
But so the experience, the excitement of it, to go through it, and it looks beautiful, you know, how far the show has grown and just style and animation and the tech behind animation is great. And the overall episode, I was on board. We're going to talk, obviously, about that asterisk, about it being new. But real big win for me.
Yeah, that's a really good point. I mean, I think I was looking at it with the consideration of like, oh, you know, I'm watching this, but you and I are going to cover this the way we covered Mandalorian. So it's kind of a different way to watch the Clone Wars. But my viewing of the Clone Wars, like we've talked about, I just in 2015 got to binge it all.
Right.
And I even had those moments where I didn't have as much of a Star Wars community then. And this is actually 2014, maybe. Anyway, I didn't have that much of a Star Wars community. So as I've mentioned on the show before, I had that moment of like, holy Lord, do people know that, you know, Darth Maul fights a bunch of Boba Fetts and leads them? And then do people know how Star Wars this is? Do people know how awesome this is? And I intellectually knew that, yes. Mm-hmm. But we hadn't started doing the podcast and I didn't have that sense of community to it. So it was this discovery without a lot of people at that moment to talk to. Right. So it's really interesting for me to go from that to feeling like I'm in this little, you know, lonely catacomb of Clone Wars alone in my apartment to, yay, gotta wait until midnight. I know a bunch of other people watching it, part of a community to discuss it. That was really, really cool and different.
Absolutely was.
On the not as great side for me is I have only ever gotten to binge Clone Wars.
Ah, yes.
So watching just one half-hour episode and having to wait, it's going to be painful and interesting. I'm still glad they're doing it this way and not the binge drop, but that's, I think, going to be a challenge.
I agree with that a lot because, to be honest, sometimes some of the Clone War episodes pack big punches and sometimes they just don't.
Yeah.
And so it's not like The Mandalorian where you're watching something completely brand new in the franchise, in the world of Star Wars. So I'm like, what happens when we get that episode that we're just like, cool, the droids, Meeber Gascon came back. Like, no, I don't know if this is going to be the case. But you know, so I'm like happy they're not bingeable, but like, it's an interesting feel.
Yeah, definitely. And we'll get into a little bit of that dynamic as well. Another big picture reaction for me was just a part of the reason that I love the Clone Wars is I just love the aesthetic of this era. I love the Republic gunships. I love all the different battle droid designs. And it's just so fun to just be back in the middle of this entire aesthetic that I love so much. And then on top of it, how 1980s to me the Bad Batch is. So this this great injection of like, back in the Clone Wars. And also, it's 1984.
Yep.
Yeah, which we can get into that as well. But that was a really strong, visceral reaction to just the aesthetic experience of seeing it all. So getting on to the asterisk.
Yeah.
So this arc has been available is some of those animatics that they put out. I think they're still available on the StarWars.com website, I believe.
I don't know, but they were for a long time. Yeah. If they aren't today.
Yeah. They might have taken them down. Mm. Have you watched those animatics? Are you familiar with this arc? Do you already know everything that's going to happen?
I'm familiar enough. And to the point where I was kind of warning some folks, even in our Discord server, of don't go into Wikipedia to double check Echo.
Right.
Like, what episode they were for the Citadel, right? That was the Tarkin one. Oh, there's the whole story.
Yep.
Just be a little careful. But yeah, so I'm familiar enough with it. Cool new surprises, obviously. It's revamped and everything. But yeah. So with that had an interesting feel too.
Yeah. But, yeah. Okay. I never watched the actual animatics and hope that someday something like this would happen.
Yeah.
But I've read bits and pieces. I've read summaries of all of them. So it's been a while. But it's a weird thing to cover too, because when we were doing Mandalorian, so much of these discussions are what's going to happen next.
Yeah.
And it's interesting for, I think, us and listeners. A huge chunk of our listeners are like, yes, we've known for years exactly what happens. Yeah. We can't wait to see that scene fleshed out. And then for other listeners, it's like, we have no idea what's happening next. It's a weird way to talk about something that is kind of new and kind of not.
It's almost like a book's been adapted.
Yeah, yeah. And then there's that element, too, that I know various sources, I think some of them public, that a lot of this is probably just as it was recorded back in the day, but there might be a peppering of new things. So even those of us who feel like, oh, we know exactly what happens, we can't wait to watch that animatic moment, there might still be bits of new flavor or ideas in it.
Yeah, I was trying, I did see a list of some things that were different. I think in the animatic, correct me if I'm wrong, I think Echo, they knew it was Echo was alive, or he told Anakin that. I think that
interesting.
That moment on the show's the place now is stern Anakin's just like, you feeling something else?
Yeah.
No, sir. I think in the animatic he says, yeah, I think Echo's alive and there's something going on or something like that. So
interesting. Yeah.
I like that new stake.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. And the Force Center refrain. We're going to talk about that moment. But that's interesting just from Filoni's perspective, because I think I kept thinking of, well, if he's going to make changes, they will be to dovetail with some of their Star Wars storytelling or set up future Star Wars storytelling. Until you said that, which I didn't know about, it never really occurred to me of just like, yeah, Dave Filoni's a writer. And if you give a writer however many years to look at their script again, they might have some notes for themselves and just make some tweaks just out of a normal writerliness rather than actually like, ooh, I'm going to make this tie into my next show or whatever. All right. So I just want to go right to the jugular. You and I often talk about the big themes of shows. And this has been one of the things I've really been excited to talk about as we analyze each Clone Wars episode, because we haven't had a chance to do it as much of dive into each episode and see how much it feels like each episode has a central idea, how much it matches with the moral that they put on screen.
Yeah, right, right.
And how much it's just the overall, is it kind of the same thematic throughout the entire arc. So I want to dive into that. The big thing that jumped out at me is this felt like it was really tapping into this big Lucas and Star Wars theme that we've talked about before, which is just the mechanical and the rigid versus the flowing and organic.
Yeah.
And some of that is obvious. It's right there on the surface. And then when I started watching the episode through that lens, all sorts of bits and pieces felt like they were supporting that general idea. Did that jump out to you? Did that feel like what was the main theme at work for you?
Yeah, it did. And I know this episode is celebrating our differences. It'll allow us to come together to be stronger. That was the stated theme.
Yep.
Very, very present. But yeah, especially with Admiral Trench, which my girlfriend screamed, why is a RoboCop Shelob on the screen? to see that. But to see the clones and even the Republic in danger of becoming that in a way. And this has been the problem. And I like that moment in the beginning with Rex going, well, every time we come up with something new and then we just keep doing it till it doesn't work. And that's a very, like I said, rigid, mechanical. Think stormtroopers marching through Endor in straight lines while Ewoks are, you know, jumping out of trees. So
crazy angles.
Yeah.
Putting those spears into those places where the armor don't meet.
Yep.
Probably crotch level. That's probably what I'm getting at.
Crotch level rocks.
Yep.
So yeah, absolutely. Very present and very present. But I really did like that this many years into the war, the Republic's like, you know that thing we keep doing?
Yeah, I think that is part of what was interesting to me about it, because that's the starting point of, in this episode, of diving into that theme of, like, it was introduced as, like, well, it's standard that the droids adapt to our, that they analyze us and they adapt to our tactics and they use an algorithm because they're droids. And, like, this is, like, the base level. Well, we're clones. We're organic. We can be intuitive and thoughtful and creative, and we can adapt, and we're led by Jedi who are capable of doing that as well. And of course the droids adapt to us eventually, and we need to, and that's kind of that standard.
Yeah.
So to me, in a way, like, that's the standard Star Wars theme at that level, that you know, ingenuity and creativity are better than an algorithm. They're going to win every time.
Right.
And then Rex being, but now it seems like the algorithm is creative.
Mm-hmm.
So something ain't right.
Right.
You know, takes that to another level. And then once I had that in my mind, I know we've seen Admiral Trench with the mechanics before in another arc, but in this particular episode, when we're getting toward the height of the war, toward the end of the war, when things are desperate, when Anakin is getting closer and closer to becoming more machine than man, to see, you know, big walrus head man with all of the mechanical parts is so Vader, you know, in it, in it. So, like, I keep thinking of that theme of mechanization, not as in it's bad to have a mechanical arm, but more that these are the scars of war.
Yeah.
And that those scars are just kind of encroaching on everyone the way the mechanics are, like, encroaching on half of his body.
Absolutely. I love that as it's tied to Grievous as well. And it kind of, you know, it's these signposts along the way for Anakin that he's not clued into quite yet. Yeah. I like that a lot.
Yeah. And then the other kind of level of this, which I think is in some ways like the surface level, is we get that, hey, this is the kind of the standard theme. Wait, that's kind of breaking down because the algorithm is being too creative and there's something going on there. And then the clones being like, well, we're Rex and Cody being like, well, we're the creative, organic, flowing creatures who can come up with something that's like, wait, there's a version of clones that are more creative and like more organic than us in a certain way. And that the Bad Batch calls them regs.
Yeah.
Right. So if, like, obviously Cody and Rex have military discipline and there's plenty of rigidity within them and within the Jedi. But if they've been thinking like, well, the advantage we have over clankers, they, you know, outnumber us, but the advantage is we're so creative and unique. And then a bunch of people going like, did you think you were creative and unique? Look at my weird armor and my catchphrase.
Look at, like, my toothpick.
Yeah, look at my toothpick. Not entirely unique. I think he stole that from Cad Bane in particular.
That's true.
But how did that land with you, where our characters who are supposed to be the creative flowing ones of Rex and Cody, and Rex is even, his actions are predicated on being aware of that at the beginning of this episode, suddenly going, you're not actually as creative and flowing as you could be, because look at the Bad Batch.
Look at the Bad Batch. I absolutely love it. I love how it's presented, even how they physically are different, shaped. Their faces are shaped different. Like, we haven't seen that yet. So I like that. I like, you talk about it, harken back to the 80s. These special squads, these, one of my favorite video game series is the Bad Company. Or war games where it's four guys who have been expendable and that kind of trope. So to see it play out in Star Wars is really entertaining to me. But yeah, to have it thrown in the face as a real valuable lesson. But my favorite part was at one point when Cody's like, you know, we're all on the same side. Knock off the attitudes and the defensiveness against both. I liked there's the title coming, the lesson coming into play of
yeah.
We must meld together. But I like when they call them regs and Descartes. It's just good, important lessons wrapped up in some really fun moments.
Yeah, yeah. I just really felt for Cody and Rex and Kix and everybody feeling like we really value our individuality. Like, let's make our tattoos on our faces
right.
real big. We've picked our names. We push back against Jedi generals who don't yeah. accept that, you know, like in that Pon Krell arc that he wants to call them by their numbers. And they're like, you know, to have them suddenly be called regs.
Yeah,
it feels like an insult.
Oh, totally, you know? Totally. It's a number without a number.
Yeah, I don't know. For me, I think it kicked off something deep, like feeling like when you were like a teen and you liked a band, and somebody came in,
oh,
like,
yeah.
you don't authentically like that band. You just picked them up because you're so mainstream. Like there was a vibe to it of that, you know, in the fact that that we get to see Rex growth of trying to be like,
yeah,
cool. I hear you. I'm going to watch your tactics and try to learn from you and be inspired by you.
There was one, when I forget who, it might have been Rex or maybe it was it Kix? When someone just kind of mumbles, they don't even look like clones.
Yeah.
That was one of my favorite little tiny lines of that being put in their face of like, wow.
Yeah, you got a pretty good bad badge. You mentioned the moral of the episode. Embrace others for their differences, for that makes you whole. Do you feel like that tied into the theme that we were talking about of the mechanical versus the organic? Or do you feel that it's more just about celebrating and finding strength in diversity?
I think both play into it. I think there's the big theme, and we talk about how the Rebel Alliance is made up of different parts of the galaxy fighting for one goal, the resistance later on. So the Republic should be that way. And I think the Republic is, but to see it play out on this little level and see the lesson, again, going back to that moment of hey, we're all on the same team. I thought it was there as far as it relates to what we've been talking about, specifically. I think it's column A, column B. I think it's there. Sorry, my brain is a bit rattled. So
I understand. You've been through a lot.
Been through a bad weekend.
Yeah.
A bad batch of a weekend.
A bad batch of a weekend. Indeed.
Yeah.
So for me, I think there is, in a way, this episode felt like Star Wars often makes the argument that it's better for Luke to trust the Force and turn off his targeting computer. Right. But this was a little bit of a demonstration of, well, why is flowing and organic better? And we get to see that from Bad Batch, that they celebrate one another's skills, which makes them stronger as a whole.
As a unit.
Like, literally, when we get to see them do their first big move, where, you know, it's normal military sort of quote-unquote rigidity. The hunter just shouts out, let's do this maneuver.
They know it. Yeah, they know
but
the
their
play.
Maneuver is predicated on Tech being able to do his thing, and Crosshair being able to do his thing, and Wrecker being able to do his thing, and using this different combination of skills, and not being like, not seeing like, well, Wrecker thinks we should charge, and Crosshair thinks we should be far away, and Tech thinks we should. That cool scene in particular of throwing the droid popper grenades and Tech calling out the exact. Location for Crosshair to shoot them from far away. That to me just really supports like, well, this is a reason that it's good to be organic the way this moral says is because if we want to work as a whole,
right,
it's a kind of a beautiful thing to say, I'm great at X,
yeah,
terrible at Y, but the person next to me is great at Y and terrible at X, and together we are so much more powerful and flowing, and strengths and flaws are good.
I think that's a really important sequence because of everything you're describing here, because it does start with this, trained routine, but they know it. They call it out. It's a number because it's not just as simple as you know, the free flowing detective who needs to turn in his badge at the end of every episode.
Right. Because he's breaking all the rules.
Yeah, breaking all the rules. McGonagall, give me your badge. No, it shows that really feeds directly into the theme. It is the key sequence then, much like some of the sequences in The Mandalorian that were like, hey, this is the heart of the show in 2 minutes.
Yeah.
Because it is, I think the message can get. It could have been very easy to see this story be, we're so wild and crazy. We just, you know, do our, like you said, don't play by the rules. And I think it was more powerful to see it, like you just said, part,
yeah,
one giant whole,
yeah,
a unit. I think that made an episode deeper.
Yeah. And I think it's just a great message, in terms of any younger people watching this, the saying being unique is good.
Yep.
You know, maybe what makes you different makes you the perfect partner for someone else out there in the world is all lovely stuff.
Yeah.
Any more thoughts on that kind of big theme before we move on?
No, absolutely loved what was being presented.
Cool. So we mentioned this briefly at the top. Like many Clone Wars episodes, a lot of the runtime of this episode is kicking ass. It's fighting. Do you enjoy that? Because I think this is going to come up a lot in our reviews where it's what makes Clone Wars unique. Sometimes at the beginning, there'll be the juiciest Star Wars conversation you've ever heard. A plot will, a idea will be revealed in the next 15 minutes of mostly shooting stuff.
Yeah.
So there is meat on the bones, but a lot of it is just the fighting.
And I like it. This show is what you would do on the playground a lot, and I think that's needed in Star Wars still. And I think everything generally does. Every movie, every story comes up to that level. But yeah, I think it's okay. But it is interesting. Yeah, because it's if they've done their job, those action sequences are part of the bigger story. But I, as a viewer, sometimes do have that with Clone Wars specifically. Have done that thing where the episode starts, and next thing I know, I'm doing chores because all I hear is beep, 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 beep. And I just mentally not tune off because I don't like it, but just kind of brain starts to look other ways. So I'm curious to see if we're going to get a lot of those episodes. Can I focus?
Yeah.
this is about me.
I think it is sometimes why you and I have both watched episodes of Clone Wars multiple times. And every once in a while, a salient detail we will forget is in that episode or came up there because, you know, Padme will just toss over her shoulder a really important thing to the, you know, whole history of the Clone Wars and then pew, pew, pew for a while. Yeah. And sometimes I think one's mind focuses on the pew, pew, pew.
Yeah.
And you don't remember those salient details or they feel kind of buried under the blaster fire.
I have watched every episode of the Clone Wars multiple times and I am very fortunate it doesn't show up in any trivia contest. And I think you're right. I think exactly it. There's been a lot of episodes that are just on. And then I go back later and go, oh, yeah, I love this episode. But what, like, Padme's speeches. It's like, all right, I know there's one in Pursuit of Peace. Isn't there another one? There's another one, right?
Yeah.
It's the one, it's in the episode with all the fighting. So, yeah, I think you're right.
Yeah, yeah. That said, I thought this action was particularly fun and engaging and really showing the characters, really showing the stakes. And I like that there is a lot of action in the Clone Wars that seems like a thing that that really flowed from Lucas.
Yeah.
This being Lucas's, you know, baby that he co-parented with Dave Filoni, that it reminds you that this is part of the point. You know, I like looking at Star Wars for the characters and the ideas and the themes, but there's no denying that a part of it is the fun serial adventure pulpy action of, you know, watching blaster fire or ships landing. And, you know, if you see a ship in Clone Wars, you are going to watch it land all the way and then usually blow up as well.
At least the Bad Batch was landing fast at the beginning.
Exactly. That's where they made up some of their time. But yeah, I really love the reminder of like, hey, you know, there's a moral at the beginning of this episode. This has an idea to it. But then 15 minutes of it might be shooting because that's a part of the fun adventure of this as well.
Totally.
Do you feel like there were moments in this particular episode where you thought a story was revealed by the action?
A lot of the stuff with the Bad Batch. I'm trying to think specifically when they go up and get the tower. I liked Admiral Trench kind of when he asks if if Jedi were there.
Yeah.
Just really assuming, oh, the clones couldn't do this.
Yeah.
And then when he hears it's clones, like... I like that particular moment. It's not a big heavy action moment, but it's in the middle of the fight. And I thought that was there too. Just the sequence we talked up top is real interesting. But just seeing what they're doing and seeing every skill all through the show displayed by the Bad Batch was fun on a lot of levels, but on a deeper level too.
Yeah, yeah. Just really getting to see who they are through that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's by this point in the episode, we get who Wrecker is. Super fun character. But I noticed on my second watch, there is a moment where right toward the end where they're trying to get out of there where he's knocked a B1 battle droid down and then he points his blaster and does like rapid fire and like I think that B1 battle droid was already down, Wrecker. It did remind
me
of like the very sketch comedy joke of like, it's dead already. Leave it alone, Wrecker. Come on. Did you have a favorite action moment that is to go to the point of this is part of the point that you were just like, that's cool.
This is a weird answer. It proves no great moral point. On my third viewing this morning, I loved the crash of the gunship. I'll tell you why. It was beautiful. It was heart-wrenching. Also, the pilot dies.
Nobody comments.
No one comments. He blows up. He's sitting there dead in the cockpit. I was like, they made that decision to show that.
Yeah.
It'd take time to show that. So it's not I love all the stuff of the Bad Batch. So, I mean, the big grenade sequence could easily be the answer. But watching it today, I was just like, just in terms of Star Wars and Clone Wars and the animation, and it looked horrifically beautiful.
Yeah.
And so I was a little upset, too. This is a little off the beaten path, but I was a little upset that they're just flying and they know they're in enemy territory and they're just going through the canyon and they're like, what? They're firing on us. So I was like, oh, come on. Be prepared better than that. And it cost them. But I just do like that sequence. Yeah.
Okay. That offended you as a former mall security cop. Like even you knew.
Just even I know. But it just it ended up into something pretty, pretty cinematic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's beautiful. Beautiful stuff there. I love the
rest in peace pilot.
Yeah. Rest in peace pilot whose name wasn't even in the credits.
Yeah.
I think they're not trying to make a point of it, but I love that this far into the Clone Wars, this amount of darkness and terror, that the B1 battle droids still feel like these hapless, mass produced just to die, aren't totally competent or totally aware, and like they've slaughtered clones, they're terrifying and all that, but that one shot where the one is like, an attack is coming, when the head is immediately blasted off, I both laughed at it and then kind of feel guilty laughing at it, because at this point the B1 droids are sort of like, you feel bad for them the same way you feel, you know, empathy for the clones of like, you're defined by war, this is all you've ever known. It's the same thing for the battle droids, and like, can I get a heads up? Oh, no.
Nope.
Your head is literally up. other favorite thing, I like Crosshair, and I like seeing, it's a weird thing to say, I like seeing all of those headshots, because it's this weird moment where a thing that you do in a video game a lot, especially if you're playing Battlefront 2 and you're playing Sniper, you're like, I do that. Yep. Look how good he is at that. How many battle points is he racking up?
It's weird. It goes back to that first Battlefront where the biker scouts were made the sniper class. And you're like, what? That's weird. And then now I can never unsee it. Like every time I see a biker scout, I'm like, oh, they're snipers.
Yeah.
They're a sniper. Yeah.
Yeah. Apparently the Ewoks just stole their sniper rifles on Endor, which is why they don't have them.
Yeah.
Right at the beginning. All right. We have talked about some of the big picture, the themes, and some of the action ideas. We are going to take a quick break, and then we're going to dive into some details, including spending a lot of time rolling around in the 80s-ness of The Bad Batch.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Life is full of what-ifs. Some awesome, like what if AI could fold your laundry? And some, well, less awesome, like what if you have unexpected medical costs? UnitedHealthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what-ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
And we are back for more Bad Batch banter. We're also going to have a fun thing, which is a disclaimer. There is some work going on in my apartment building. So moved from my apartment down to the party room. And now there's some work going on outside the party room. So you might hear in the background some metallic clanks, which feel free to imagine as battle droids. There's some clankers literally clanking. Clanking while we're trying to podcast.
This has been a long time adventure here at Foursetter because the work, God bless these workers. They're just doing their job. They're doing their thing. They don't know that they've interrupted the Foursetter podcast everywhere we record now.
Yeah, and they don't know it. They're not trying, but they have great comedic timing.
They do.
Every time you get to a point. And that, my real thesis is clank, clank. All right.
But we shall persevere.
Yes, we will soldier on like the great clone troopers do. So we're going to talk a few more details. Yeah. In the very beginning of this episode, we learn that the battle is not going well on this particular planet, this shipyard, Nexus. But I get the general vibe, the mood, that everybody's tired and things aren't going great everywhere. Did you get that vibe, and do you like feeling that state of the galaxy like that?
I did, and it's not that I want to take joy in the Republic losing. I like that feeling as we come to the end. I like that feeling that everyone's exhausted, everyone's tired, and things aren't going particularly well. We get some reasons why, hey, their algorithms are, you know, are pretty smart, and now this one, this creative one's been used again. Like, I like that. I like that little detail. I like that, you know, Anakin had almost nothing to do with this episode, but his appearance, it was some, I know Matt Lanter's just doing VO, but I could feel him through that face.
Right.
In thought, picking up on stuff with Rex, but just kind of like almost like he's, I wanted him to scream, I could end this war with one lightsaber.
Yeah, if I could just kill.
Let me do it.
Yeah, I mean, that's a hell of a way to start. Because if it was like two random Jedi we've never met, you know, or two background Jedi. But to start with, Anakin and Mace are getting their asses handed to them.
Yeah.
Repeatedly is really powerful. So, yeah, I like that that sense of almost not desperation, but just almost like World War One trench warfare of like,
yeah,
we're not, nothing's happening. We're just stuck here in horror. And I don't know if it's intentional, but I got a lot from Mace listening to Rex and Cody.
Yeah.
Anakin, of course, is going to trust Rex and probably Cody. But you see lots of scenes of Mace pushing back on things or saying, I'm not sure. And I like that Rex just comes with this sort of like strange, desperate plan, a kind of an outside the box theory in a plan. And Mace is just like, sounds good. Do it. No offer to go like, that's too dangerous. We'll come with you. Or just like, you want to go behind enemy lines because you think the algorithm is too intelligent? Whatever. I got other things to meditate on.
We got to go.
Yeah. So that the fact that Mace is just like, sure. Do you think that might help? Fine. Try anything. It speaks to a little bit of kind of almost desperation to hear that from Mace. I think also just that the sense of loss for Rex personally. It gives weight to Cody being injured later in the episode. As you pointed out, I guess Rex was not close to that pilot.
There's others that mourn him.
Others that mourn him, yeah, who grew up in Kamino with that pilot. But what did you think about that sense of actual loss of, and Cody even says that very real world thing of like survivor's guilt of sometimes it's harder to be alive.
Great sequence, which I do believe some of there will correct me if I'm wrong. I think that was added as well.
Okay.
From the animatic, or I keep calling it animatic. That might not be correct. I understand. The unfinished versions. Yeah, I love that because that trailer line that you and I both mentioned a couple times, but the trailer line of, you know, clones have a complicated relationship with the war. Without it, we don't exist. All those things. They have this identity, this connection, and other than just, it's also very real world, like you just said, and whether it's in war and maybe some other things where you survive and the PTSD of it all and everything. It's pretty deep stuff for a Star Wars cartoon, you know? Let's not forget.
Yeah.
We're excited now, but this is something that was on Friday nights on Cartoon Network. Like, for that the show to grow to that point and allow them, for them to maybe realize, I don't think, because I don't think it will relate to plot point stuff, and it's obviously the connection with Echo's valuable, and you want that to be felt by the audience, but it allows them now to come back and get a little deeper.
Yeah.
And to really play with the individuals that we lost along the way. Also for fans, as I ramble about it, for fans to go back, if you're, you know, I know some people who are Clone Wars or Clone Trooper fans.
Yeah.
It's gonna have that moment of remembrance for those that Domino Squad.
Right.
You know, it's good stuff.
You grew up with, if you grew up with the Clone Wars, you know, or just discovered it, Fives and Echo and Heavy, they can be the sort of that same like level of like passion that people have for Wedge Antilles or Admiral Ackbar. They're not in a ton, but you've made a bond with them and they have weight.
Yes.
And their loss has weight.
Great example. Because, again, a lot of people, this is their first Star Wars. Why are you worried about a fish guy? I'm worried about Echo.
Yeah. Fish guy will be fine.
He'll be fine.
Don't worry about it. Yeah, and for me, it's not necessarily, it's not super on the surface, but I like thinking a lot about the imbalance in the Force is caused by the actions of the Sith, the actions of the dark side. And this is just one of those poignant little reminders of, like, there's all this death. There's all this pain because this war that absolutely doesn't need to be happening. That it's a total manipulation of the Sith.
Mm-hmm.
And this pain is echoing out through the galaxy. and just contributing to the dark side. It's a poignant little real world type moment with Rex and Cody, but also like really getting into the depth of sort of Star Wars philosophy.
Absolutely.
So you mentioned it. Why do you think Rex doesn't feel safe to confide in Anakin? He says to Cody that I was concerned that the general would think I was crazy. But it still really struck me because they have a bond.
They do have a good relationship. So other than just a nice little attention to the plot added in this newer version, I think it does go beyond that. I'm trying to play with that there. Is it a final level of mistrust between a clone and a Jedi, even though it's Anakin? Does he know Anakin would then have to go to Mace? All the Jedi support of the clones, we've talked over and over and over again about some of them, not just Pon Krell, but some of them just don't view them as human as they should. So I love the idea. I'm playing around with my head of him just going, it's crazy on a level. Imagine thinking someone who's dead is still alive in Star Wars and having a problem with it. just that final line between we are clones. So how can I explain that? I know I feel it and not being comfortable to share it even with a good friend.
Yeah.
This is headcanon explanation for me. But that is interesting and to play around in my head.
Yeah. Because the conviction of Rex's belief that Echo is alive is because of the uniqueness, right?
Yes.
Because those are plans that he and Echo came up with. And that does speak to the total unique nature of clones of like, there's not Echo and I came up with those plans together. Mm-hmm. No other clone is going to have happened to think of these exact strategies. So that starts to have this interesting tension of does even, General Skywalker, who is so supportive and sees us as individuals and fights for us and feels pain when he loses us, will even he kind of scoff at that level?
Yeah.
Or is it even just Rex, projecting like we do sometimes? Like we have our own fears, so we assume that other people are going to say them to us when that other person maybe never would. But Rex's fear that it's, because Cody says maybe it's misplaced hope. I think he says it in a kind way. But I wonder if even for Rex, it's just like too vulnerable and he's afraid to hear General Skywalker reflect all his fears back to him.
There's an interesting digging into this a little bit more. There also could be this not wanting to, if Echo is alive from this point of view, and we know where maybe the story plays out, but let's get into this moment of Echo, of Rex going, if Echo's alive and he's helping them, he might not know what's going to happen. He might not know. He doesn't know. So for them not wanting to face that and then having to admit that in any way, shape, or form. So, hey, Anakin, crazy thought. I think he's still alive and he might be helping our enemy.
Yeah.
And not wanting to acknowledge any of those things going on. Interesting decision.
Yeah. And maybe it is a little bit of just like, I want to find out what is happening so I can control the situation.
Yeah.
Because is it impossible that he's alive? Is it impossible that the idea of could a clone have turned?
Yeah.
Because they've encountered clones who have deserted.
Yeah.
But not clones who have totally joined the other side. Mm. That's interesting to think about. Let's get into the Bad Batch themselves, the stars of this episode. We got Hunter. We got Tech, Wrecker, and Crosshair. Which ones speak to you and why?
You know what? All of them have in a little bit, but I do enjoy Wrecker. I don't necessarily see myself as Wrecker, but I do just kind of sometimes charge in. This is my style of playing D&D role-playing games. I'm more grumpy, obviously, if you follow me long enough, but what he's just kind of like, even when they're crashing, he's like, hey, we're coming in for a landing or whatever he says, I'm paraphrasing, but just like, there's just kind of a simple, straightforward joy that Wrecker has for being Wrecker.
Yeah, he loves wreckage all around him.
I think they're all very secure clones in who they are and celebrate it. They're very clearly calling everyone else Regs. They've got their we're pretty cool type of vibe. Wrecker, I love, he gives a shoulder push to one of the regular clones while they're going in and just like, here we go.
Yeah,
that's kind of me drunk, and I think I'm good with Wrecker.
Wrecker's vibe of the big loud laugh. Yeah, I think that's a great point. I the Wrecker is the kind of character that I would have gravitated toward as a kid because, mm-hmm. you know, I was a scrawny kid. I'm a scrawny adult. And I remember.
Slender, please.
Slender.
Let's speak slender. Speak nice of ourselves here.
There's some girth at the waist for me. But anyway, slender and girth, beautiful combination. But I remember as a kid, there was a time where we were just making things up on like the playground. And it's like, I want to be a guy with a steel arm who can crush things.
Right.
And then I remember telling the other kids like, I think I want to play a strong character because I'm not strong in real life. And all the other kids just staring at me like, the hell's wrong with you? We're not here to psychoanalyze. We're here to have superpowers.
We got 10 minutes left in recess. Come on. What are you doing?
You psycho. But I did sometimes gravitate toward the strong characters. I really like Tech. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think because he is slender, scrawny, however you want to say it, like I've always been, I like the different look of the glasses.
Yes.
I like the idea that he is full of information. Mm-hmm. And we get to see him in action where he's like, oh, I can calculate things. I can hack things. Mm-hmm. But then we get that flavor moment at the beginning where it's like, I also just know like useless trivia. I'm like Wikipedia.
Yeah.
You know, where they were talking about that previous adventure and he's like, technically, they were trying to mate with us.
Yes.
And did you know in some places that queen's tail isn't considered a delicacy?
In a very charming, non-well-actually way.
He was not tech-splaining. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That character was just like, that's really different. That's really interesting to me. And I just felt like he had a really cool aesthetic with a little bit more of the kind of eventual biker scout almost style helmet with those, you know, big spectacles.
Totally new look. I loved it.
Yeah, super great. Let's talk about them big picture.
Yeah.
I say 80s. Is that just my bias or do you get that?
No. We went to the same spot. And not just because Hunter had some Rambo vibes, though I took him more as almost in the vein of Quinlan Voss, more of a Native American homage at times, kind of his ability to track as well. But I went to, and they're at technically, well, I wouldn't call them bad guys, G.I. Joe. Had a couple of comic issues based around the Russian version called the October Guard.
Okay.
And like with a lot of bad companies or specialized units, there's the tech guy, there's this, that, and there's the big hulking guy. And they had all of that. So my mind went right to that wonderful group of 80s heroes or anti-heroes everywhere you want to look at it. So I think you and I are right on the same page.
Yeah, I think there's the aesthetic of them with the skulls, and, mm-hmm. and I agree with you. I think Hunter is tapping into lots of ideas, but there's no denying that like it's very 80s to have almost like that mullet and the headband and the half a skull tattooed on his face is really like, mm-hmm. I'm going in there alone, you know?
Mm-hmm. Totally.
I'm going to rescue my kid and no one else will be left alive. Like totally that vibe. Yeah. From Hunter, but they do have this, they have a feeling, and I don't mean this negative, I like them, I think they're awesome, of like the 80s when action figures were being like created based on interviewing kids of like, we want a strong one, we want a tough silent one, we want one that shoots people from far away, we want them one that's good with computers, and you know, they have that, like, let's give them each their own unique shtick kind of vibe that's, you know, very 80s. And it goes into the 90s as well, obviously.
Certainly, but it was born there. Yeah, one of my favorite G.I. Joe figures I still own is Mainframe, the middle-aged computer technician who joined up to fight Cobra. So, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I think there's also something about the fact that we are meeting them at a time where they have been together for a long time. And they are really different. And you get the vibe that as they began, Wrecker would probably make fun of Tech.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Or, you know, maybe there'd be a little bit of a leadership beef between Crosshair and Hunter, but they're all getting along. And it almost has this like Breakfast Club vibe. Like they've been in detention together and they shouldn't hang out because one of them a jock. One of them's a nerd. You know, one of them's a geek, if you make that distinction. You know, one of them's a loner.
No, it is,
and yet they're all together. Maybe Crosshair's a goth. Who knows?
Yeah.
But now. Yeah. They're all together, but to me that it has this very like
totally. We're forget about me? Yeah,
yeah. I can see Wrecker putting his fist in there.
Hurrah! Hurrah, guys!
Yeah. So all sorts of awesome stuff with the with the Bad Batch in particular.
Loved it.
Yeah. Moving on. So Echo being alive, we got that confirmed at the end of the episode, and of course, knowledge of the animatics. Mm-hmm. I know you have some ideas of where this story goes, but for you, the idea of Echo being alive, what it sort of means story wise, what are you excited about in terms of the next episode and that being the real stake?
I'm excited to really continue to delve into this clone identity thing and this connection and really them dealing with it. And if Rex first thinks his buddy's dead and now he's alive, and then he might be on the other side, or if he comes face to face with him again, just in the darkness of war, the beauty of compassion and good attachment, how that plays out and how it fuels the clone's search for their identity. That's clearly going in. It's one of the themes, I think, based on that trailer, based on the quote we keep talking about. So that's what I'm excited about. And also, as much as I knew about what had happened, I haven't been living in that for a while. So when they talk about Echo, and I think what Cody says, he died at the Citadel. I went like, I just watched that. That's right, he did.
Yeah.
So it was just fun as a viewer for the callbacks.
Yeah.
Makes the Clone Wars just its own wonderful, vibrant world.
Yeah. Yeah. And again, I know a lot of our listeners are probably like, we know exactly what's going to happen. But I think the thing for me, and who knows, maybe there will be additions or changes. I would love for the fate of Echo, Rex, Cody, Bad Batch, whoever gets to see and confront Echo, if that brings up the idea of we want to have our own choices and our own destiny, because that could really interestingly transition into who are we when the war is over?
Right.
And that's what I'm hoping that we're going to get to, because, of course, we get to see some of them later having survived the war.
Yeah.
But I think that's just a really interesting idea to be like, we were made for this. We're not super enjoying it.
Yeah.
Because we're doing our duty. It's why we were created. But now we're here. Mm. Now we care about each other. We have to keep watching each other die. What do we want to be when the war is over?
So it's just one of the greatest things about the Clone Wars for George and Filoni and company to get to play with that. To get to play with that. Oh, you like those cool action figures bred for war? Have you taken the helmets off?
Yeah,
and some of the Jedi haven't in story, and I like that.
Yeah, yeah. I did want to touch on one other element of the Bad Batch, which is to me they have a little bit of a almost superhero vibe, in particular Wrecker's super strength in that.
Yeah.
Oh, he's not pulling Cody out; he's flipping the gunship, it almost seems like Crosshair. You could imagine is like just super well trained, or is it actually genetically bred like a they're described at one point as having
mutations that are
advantageous mutations,
right,
which straight up makes them sound like the X-Men.
Yes,
they feel a little like the X-Men or the Avengers, this team of cool people who have their different complementary skills.
Right.
Did you like the superhero vibe of it? Or is that too much?
No, I did. I think for whatever reason, in this crazy story of space wizards and everything, sometimes if you were to write this down on a post-it note and slide it across me at a bar like we're making a secret deal, like four clones, each with a mutation that gives them kind of extra powers, I'd be like, reject it. I don't want that. I don't want that. Not in my realistic Clone Wars. I want my space wizard. But to see it at play, like I do think Crosshair has some sort of vision thing that allows him to, shoot like I should on Battlefront 2. Tech's got some powers going on his brain. And clearly Wrecker's just got, that is not, I don't know the average weight of an airship there, but of a light airship, but like that was the moment you're like, oh, I get it again. And then even
he hasn't just been pumping iron. He's
Hunter's got something with his tracking abilities where he's like Legolas.
And that's even not trained. Like he can sense electricity, right?
Yeah.
Like you're not going to be able to train to do that. So
it works for me in this way, where it played out really well. I going into it, if I really didn't know, I'd be like, okay, we'll see. And I just absolutely loved the Bad Batch. They just, the way the chemistry, everything, it really did work for me.
Yeah.
When normally I don't think I'd be on board for that.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Desirable mutations. That's what desirable it was. I found
my note.
I think this was a great reminder to me that Star Wars has always been a mashup of genres, which we talk about a lot. But then we have that feeling that you're talking about of if somebody pitched, hey, do you want this? You'd be like, no, that's not Star Wars. This is such a great reminder of something that, like, it's basically X-Men Avengers mashup, but they're clones in a certain way. But once you put really different aesthetics into Star Wars and sort of process them into the Star Wars world, Star Wars is this great thing that can accept almost any genre and still make it its own.
Yeah.
Which makes me excited to see even more, hopefully, experimentations in genre within Star Wars.
Great point. Yeah. We do sometimes hold on to what we think Star Wars is and allowing the creators we trust to take us down different paths.
Yeah.
It's an important reminder.
Throw some superheroes in there. Give me a rom-com.
There you go.
Anyway, so any other characters or moments or planets or anything like that that you wanted to note that you particularly enjoyed?
It's not that I particularly... Well, I did enjoy it. I know a lot of people are talking about some of these buried connections to Rebels. There's the... On the planet... Anaxis? Araxis? Exaxis?
Anaxis, yeah.
Exegol? I don't know. Where the planets are... It's been a weekend for me, kids. I don't remember all the details, but there's one of the creatures there that's in Rebels.
Okay.
That takes place where Kanan and Ezra fight the Grand Inquisitor and everything. So for Filoni to get a chance to go back and weave some of that in, I do enjoy it.
Yeah.
I do enjoy it. I saw some people tweeting out about this is the correct way to do nostalgia. I would debate you on that, but I mean, all support of this way, but doesn't mean the other ways are wrong. That's a lot of fun. So I think we should acknowledge it because people are going to want to. And yep, if you're going to tweet me out the exact planets, I already know. I already know. Don't worry about it.
It's fine. It's fine. Yeah, I think there's a line between nostalgia and continuity.
Yeah.
This is a story about a galaxy where planets get revisited.
Yeah.
I don't think thermal detonators are nostalgia. I think they're grenades.
Yes.
That's my particular bias. I did really like the planet Anaxis. It's one of the great things of this era that, you know, the original trilogy planets were generally like, what if an environment on Earth was a whole planet? And then Clone Wars starts to get into this weirdness. There are like these Anaxis seem to have these like things that look from below look like cool red trees, but from above look like strange giant flowers. And I love the crystalline surface that made all of the crashes look so cool.
Yeah, see that sequence? It's cool.
Yeah, it's great.
It's beautiful. Beautiful death.
Rest in peace, pilot. So I like that shattering. I also just liked, and I saw people making some good fun jokes about this. I liked the tattoo game on the clones. It's something that pops up throughout Clone Wars, but you can be watching and listening to Hunter talk and cool. Okay, you got, wait a minute.
Yep.
That's a skull.
Yep.
Like half a skull on your whole face.
Yeah. Jaw. Yeah. No. Yeah, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. And kicks with the Imperial insignia, right? Yeah. Or Republic, is that?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And the skulls everywhere on all of them. Even like Tech. He has spectacles and skulls everywhere. Skulls. So that's so 80s. That's so metal, man. We are going to wrap up here. We can't wait to see what happens next. And if it is the same as what happened before in the animatic. But before we wrap up, we're going to have some fun questions. We always like to close out some fun questions. So action figure. I think we're going to do this every episode we review.
Too.
If you could have an action figure of any character from this episode, who do you choose?
I mean, look, I know we want the Bad Batch 4-pack.
Oh, yeah.
I definitely would want a Wrecker 6-inch Black Series with that removable skull helmet.
Yeah.
And then eventually they'll release the Scar Squadron from the comics, which is the Stormtrooper Bad Batch, so to speak, with a large guy with that helmet that looks like a skull. Release that and we'll have a fight. Release them as old-style He-Man figures.
Oh, yeah. Twist the waist and punch some people.
Yeah.
I'll take that. Give them a smell.
Mm-hmm.
I want Tech to smell like moss for some reason. Yeah. Oh, man. It's a toss-up between Tech, and I know he's not unique to this episode, but Admiral Trench with all the creepy mechanical parts, and you could squeeze his legs and make his little mouth move and make that little... Yeah, that disturbing little noise he makes. Mm-hmm. I'd be all for
totally
mechanized Trench.
Yeah.
Final thing that we are going to do on this here episode is talk moral. Talk the moral of this actual episode, but I feel that maybe we should have a moral for each episode of the actual podcast. So
I like that.
What is the moral, do you think, of this episode of the Clone Wars Report podcast?
If it was to pop up at the beginning of the screen, it would be, life will surround you with distracting noises, but focus on the task at hand.
Ignore the clanks, kids, and listen to your heart. That is a great one. That is our moral. Mm-hmm. And for this week, that is the Clone Wars Report.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. Warbyparker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So, Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel. A pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us?
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.